There's a pretty unkind joke about public servants that goes like this. We just invented a new missile. It's called the public servant. It doesn't work and it can't be fired. I know, terrible joke, I know. And perhaps it does go to some of the stigma or stereotypes public servants might feel. But after all, it's usually pretty well paid, stable, great super, good hours. Why wouldn't you want a job in the public service? In his speech after being sworn in as the new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese paid tribute to public servants. He spoke of how valued they are and how they won't be getting sacked. However, one top dog has already left his job. That's Phil Gagens from the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. And there may be a few other department secretaries in the firing line as the whole shape of the public service is in for the biggest change, really, in a generation. Chris Johnson is the managing editor of The Mandarin, a publication which covers the goings-on in the public sector. Chris, what's the mood like, really, in the public sector in the wake of this Labor victory and in the wake of Prime Minister Albanese's comments thanking the public service before he left for Tokyo?
Yeah, g'day, Andy. Look, I think there was a collective sigh of relief across the public service with the election of Labor. The public service featured quite significantly in this campaign. Both parties had a bit to say about it, but they were starkly different. So Labor came out quite early saying we're going to do an audit of expenditure here, but we're going to make savings in the massive spend on consultancies, consultant labour hire, which is quite a big issue in the public sector. Consultants have almost taken over. So Labor is saying that we're going to reduce the spend on that, reinvest into actual public servants on the ground, which is a big positive for the public service. The other side, the coalition, Morrison couldn't help himself but to actually keep saying, oh, we're not listening to the public service. It's not someone, you used the term quite a bit towards the end of the campaign, someone sitting in Canberra doesn't know what the communities want. And with his 7:30 appearance in answer to questions about sports rules, it is a great quote, and he nailed it. I agree with it. He said, I'm sorry, politicians, elected leaders, ministers ultimately make decisions because we're the ones accountable for the public, not public servants. He's spot on, and I think he was just reinforcing a message to the whole country. Yeah, it wasn't the public servants who, brought it all the money. It was me and my government. So I think there was a huge message sent out there, and it was a starkly different message to the public service. When the costings came out from the coalition, they actually saying that we're going to have to increase the efficiency dividend. We're going to look for $2.7 billion worth of cuts to the public service in order to pay for our election promises. So that obviously doesn't go down well. So I think even obviously not all public servants are going to be aligned or wanting to vote Labor or more progressive than that, but they did feel that they were being attacked by the government of the day, and I think they probably let that be known at the ballot box along with the rest of the country.
Chris, we're just losing you a little bit. If you're just talking on the phone, it's all good now. But let me just ask you, what's in it for Labor politically in terms of increasing the public service? Does Labor see it as an increased union base, or is it something more philosophical than that?
Look, I think it's actually very clever politics. They read it well because this was not the election to criticise the public service. After everything that the country's gone through, it's the public service that stepped up. During the bushfires, while the Prime Minister was on the beach, it's the public service, states and federal, that stepped up. And the same through the COVID pandemic. So I think Labor are being very clever here, saying, okay, we need to really express the gratitude here because there are votes in that, and there are absolutely not any votes, in fact, totally the opposite, for the government, the coalition, to be criticising the public service. So I think, there's politics at play there and played well on Labor's part. I don't think it's a union. You know, the CPSU is not a militant union at all. I don't think it's a union sort of thing there. The CPSU have been came out straight away talking about what the costings means for the loss of jobs when the coalition said that we need to find these savings in the public service. But I think you've got to work with. I think they may have also Labor might have also learned some lessons from Kevin Rudd's day, where he had a very volatile relationship with the public service, I guess. And Albo's a different guy. I think he wants to get the message out straight away that he values the public service. And I don't think we can underestimate the importance of him using his very first press conference after being sworn in as Prime Minister to say what those quotes that you just mentioned then, how he valued the public service and we're not going to be sacking them. Now, when he says he's not going to be sacking them, it doesn't mean the heads. Phil Gagin's gone.
Yeah. Going to be others. So let's get to that. I mean, Phil Gagin's is temporarily replaced by the Deputy Secretary Stephanie Foster. Who else is going to be in the firing line?
Well, look, when it comes to Phil Gagin's, let's just say if they saw each other at all, I think it's a total mutual understanding that job was no longer tenable. The Secretary of the Prime Minister and Cabinet is, for all intents and purposes, a political role. He's there to protect the government, the Prime Minister of the day, really. So he was never going to. So it's absolutely no surprise. I'm sure there was just a bit of a nod as they passed in the corridor if they saw each other at all that day. So he was gone, obviously. Look, everything else is speculation, and I don't know that there's going to be wholesale changes. But, you know, there's lots of talks. There's obviously been talk a while about Mike Pizzullo and Home Affairs and how he's, very close to the coalition and he always seemed to be very loyal to Dutton. And he wanted to be in defence with Dutton. That's been the talk for a while. So that's one that, obviously being looked at. Now, Albo's, the Prime Minister has, said nothing's going to be decided now till caucus meets next Tuesday, and then there will, all the departments and the ministries will be decided and announced then. And then there's a big questions then about what departments may change. Governments have their own agendas, their own stripes, even language changes. Right now we've had a long history of departments being merged and changed and cut and reborn. So we've got to see what shape of the public sector will be under Albanese as to whether he pretty much keeps the structure or he wants to merge it. Will we get a full-on climate change department again? Will things like AFE and ASIO come back into Attorney General's the Anti-Corruption Commission? Now, that is natural home is the Attorney General. Will that all be there? So we need to know where he's going with that before we can understand, which department heads he's been really looking at and chopping. But there are some, there's things on it. The question is who's going to be his head of his own cabinet with Gagin's gone. Stephanie Foster's acting; she's obviously in the loop there. There's talk about Mike Murdoch, who is quite close to Albanese in infrastructure, he got dumped from his role. Industry and communication. He got dumped from his role by Scott Morrison, quite close to Albert. And that role needs to be someone who's close. There's talk about Stephen Kennedy, who's now head of the Treasury. So he could end up in Prime Minister's department. And then there's a whole flow on there as who fills those roles in it. So, look, I would say I don't think there's going to be wholesale. I don't think there's going to be massive changes at the heads, but there's two or three that, would be feeling quite uneasy at the moment.
All right, Chris, we're going to have to leave it there. I'd love to maybe catch up with you again. I think maybe the expectation that all the consultants will be flushed out of Canberra may be a little too high expectations. We'll catch up again. Chris Johnson there. He's the managing editor of The Mandarin, a publication which covers the goings-on in Canberra and the federal public sector here on RN Drive.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.